Yeah, praise the Lord. Let's not quit. Let's finish well, just like we've been talking. Finish well. Finish well. Any others before we look in the Bible? Tony.
A little testimony about my dad. He worked a lot. He wasn't around a lot. But he taught me some good moral values. He did not lead me to salvation. He's Pentecostal now, so there's a little hope for him. But gaining a wonderful, godly father-in-law has been one of the best things. Marrying my wife, it came with a good package of having an awesome father-in-law. I wouldn't trade it for the world. And I'm saved today because of my father.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, there's a lot of men we can look to and get blessings from. And God uses those men, fathers, fathers-in-laws, and other fathers, you know, other fathers. I'll just say one more thing, and while we're turning to Psalm 37, you're looking in your Bible with me at Psalm 37. Growing up, my dad was not the example. My dad was not one who wanted us to be in church and pray together and any of those things. And so instead of him praying for us, we prayed for him. We prayed for him. I've shared this over and over, that decades of prayer for him to come to Christ. But man, when he did, when he finally gave his life to the Lord, he couldn't stop talking about Jesus to his family and friends. So much so, they would not answer the phone when he called, because they knew talking to Bill meant you're going to hear about Jesus again. You're going to hear about Jesus. And up until his death, that's what he wanted them to know Christ. And sadly, his brother-in-law died 6 months or so after that. No hope that he knew the Lord. But my aunt and others, there's still hope there. But because of his testimony, there's some foundation we can work with. And the Lord's working on their life. But praise the Lord for those testimonies. Psalm 37, that's where we're at. We've been looking in Psalm 37. We started last week, you might recall. We started a series we're calling Fret Not for a Little While. And it covers verses 1 to verse number 10. We've looked at verses 1 through 3. Let's take a look at those first and just kind of review. The Bible says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." Last week we saw to fret not if you trust in the Lord. If you know Christ as your Savior, there's nothing to fret about, to be anguished about. That's what the word fret means. It means to be anguished or grieved or upset about. God says, rest in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. We saw that there in verse number 3. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. And we need more people in America to trust in the Lord, don't we? I'm not just talking about people who don't know God. I'm talking about people who do. Christians who claim Christ as their Savior need to trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord and let him have the future in his hands and follow along as he reveals. We're going to look at some of that tonight as we go on in verses 4, 5, and 6. So let's take a look there. Would you read those verses with me? Verse 4, 5, and 6. 4, 5, and 6. Let's read them together, shall we? Let's begin. "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday." The Bible says that we are to delight ourselves in the Lord. Fret not. Here's the title tonight if you're taking notes. Fret not if you delight in the Lord. Fret not if you delight in the Lord. I come across these every now and then, and this is not from our church bulletin, although we do have a few changes every now and then that need to be there. But this is some church bulletin bloopers I found, and I thought you would appreciate them. You have to think a little bit about some of them, okay? So number one, Thursday night potluck supper, prayer and medication to follow. Number two, 8 new choir robes are currently needed due to the addition of several new members and to the deterioration of some older ones. Number three, Due to pastor's illness, Wednesday's healing services will be discontinued until further notice. Then finally, the Reverend Adams spoke briefly, much to the delight of his audience that night. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Just think about that for a second here. Yeah. You know, there may be things or people or even events that are potentially something we fret over or anguish over. A future event or a present event. Sometimes past situations that have not been resolved. There can be anguish over those things, but God's word shares there are biblical reasons not to fret. Again, we saw that part of that needs to be included in that is trusting in the Lord. Tonight, we want to see that we can fret not if we delight in the Lord. Do you delight in the Lord? Do you delight in him? Is there pleasure when you consider him? And I'm not talking about a physical pleasure. I'm talking about fulfilling pleasure. That's what delight is. That there's joy and happiness when we put our love and trust in the Lord. Tonight I want to talk to you about that. Fret not if you delight in the Lord. Before we go any further, let's pray. We'll ask God to help us. A couple of folks I'm going to pray over is C.J. Halsey asked if we'd pray for her niece. Her name is Angie, and she's in some serious, dangerous spinal surgery tomorrow morning, so we're going to pray for her. And then, Brother Tony, if you don't mind, I'll pray for your co-worker, Jeff Adams, who in the last, 4 or 5 days, two close people to him passed away suddenly. So we need to pray for this man. He needs Christ, and pray for those Christians nearby like Brother Tony who can have an opportunity to talk to him about it. So I'm going to pray for them as well as pray for our night. So would you bow with me as I pray this evening? Father, we thank you for the delight we can have in you. Oh, Heavenly Father, I pray as we open the scriptures tonight, help us to be happy. Help us to be delightful about it, Lord. Not a grudge, not something that we cast aside in. And I pray that any distractions, Lord, would be set aside so that your Holy Spirit would have an open ear and open heart. Lord, we also pray for these folks who are grieving tonight or looking forward to some things that they need your help with. Pray for Angie, Lord, CJ's niece. God, would you be with her through the surgery and be successful, and that it would be something that could help her physically and draw her attention to you spiritually too. Pray for this man, Mr. Adams, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for his work ethic, his desire to help people, but yet now he's in great despair. He and his family, we pray, Father, that you would be with him and others who are dealing with these deaths right now. Open up the door for a conversation about Christ, and we'll ask all this in Jesus' name tonight. Amen. Fret not if you delight in the Lord. Number one, the Bible says in verse number 4, delight in knowing the Lord. Delight in knowing the Lord. Hey, just knowing him, listen, folks, you know more about the universe when you know the Lord than most people on the earth when you know the Lord. He says this in verse number 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. How do we know the Lord? Well, first of all, you know the answer. Number one, believe in Christ for your salvation. And as I look out, everyone here tonight at least has shared with me a testimony of salvation. But maybe you're here tonight and you don't know Christ as your Savior. You've not taken that step by chance. I want to tell you something. Today's the day to get it done. Amen. Today's the day to get it done. Don't wait another hour or 2 hours. Call on Christ. You can do it right during this service. There's no reason why you have to wait if you need the Lord Jesus as your Savior. It is the greatest decision that you will make for eternity. It's the best decision to choose Christ and put your faith in him. Follow Christ. Number two, follow Christ in dedication. In dedication. All right, what do we do after we receive Christ? Well, now we need to follow him. Turn with me, if you would, John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And we're going to look at verse number 23 as we look in John 14. Believe in Christ for salvation. Follow Christ in dedication. John chapter 14 and verse number 23 says this, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. follow Christ. This means obeying, being obedient to his commands. First of all, being obedient to his commands. By the way, what did Jesus tell us to do after we lead someone to Christ in Matthew 28, 19 and 20? After leading them to the Lord, follow, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's a step of the Christian walk. By the way, that's not a step of salvation. Amen? You can get baptized 100 times and still be on your way to hell. But without faith in Jesus Christ, you'll never get to heaven. You need that faith in the Lord Jesus. God says, come to Christ. Then, number two, follow him in believer's baptism, his commands. And then he says and goes on to share how we need to interact with one another, love one another, and learn more about him and all the different things that we can read about in the scriptures. Be obedient to his commands. Look at what he said. If a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode. Pattern number two, after his testimony. Pattern after Christ's testimony. How should I behave? How should I behave? Well, we're talking about a few folks who are dealing with some very sad things right now, some deaths in the family. What did Jesus do when his close friend passed away? Whom he knew was going to walk that day. He knew he was going to walk out of that tomb that day. What did he do? He wept. He wept. There is no shame in grief. There is no shame in grief. God says, however, we still need to focus on the Lord, even in the midst of the sorrow. As a matter of fact, that's the only way you're going to get through the sorrow, is if you focus on the Lord. Amen. Let him have his way through the time. Pattern after his testimony. And that's, of course, in difficult days. But we have great days, too. In good days, positive things happen. We still need to trust in the Lord. Amen. What does God want us to do when everything seems to be going right? He says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. And then he shall what? If you humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, he shall lift you up, the Bible says, and continue to help you grow and be more like him. Follow Christ in dedication. Number three, persevere in Christ through the tribulation. Persevere in Christ through the tribulation. Now, let's take a look here in the scriptures. First of all, Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Persevere in, number one, prayer. Prayer. Talked about this a little bit this morning for dads, how prayer is our lifeline, Dad. And by the way, it still is. Amen? Amen. Let's get with God on a regular basis and with our family together as well, but certainly one-on-one with the Lord. But in prayer, the Bible says for all of us, we should persevere through tribulation. And one way to do it is through prayer. That's part of the key. Look at verse number 18 with me, please. Ephesians 6, verse number 18. Let's read that together. That's a great verse. If you don't have it in your memory banks, we can put it there. Let's start with verse number 18. Let's read. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, isn't it interesting that the Bible says that the supplication needs to be for who? The end of that verse, supplication for all saints. Now, that does include you. If you know Christ, that includes you. But God says, listen, not just yourself. Think of others too. Pray alongside them. Bring those requests before the Lord. God is listening. And then be watching. Then be watching. When the tribulation comes, pray. Be persevering about prayer. Be persevering when attacked. Number two, when attacked. And there are spiritual attacks and there are physical attacks. And sometimes they happen at the same time. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, if you know it, say it with me. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Can you escape temptation at any time? According to the Bible, you can. The devil didn't make you do it. The habits that we're in didn't make us do it. Somebody else didn't make us do it. We simply did not take God at his word and look for the way of escape when we fail. But when we do, God says, He's always providing during those times of temptation. That's the spiritual attacks, but I want to take a look at the physical ones. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's go there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Persevere through the spiritual attacks and through the physical ones. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm looking at verse number 9 and 10 here. To persevere in Christ means quite simply to just do what you know is right according to what Jesus says. Just do what you know is right according to what Jesus says. And in difficult days, we tend to be tempted to draw away from those things. And yet God says, this is one of the ways I'm going to get you through it. Here it is, verse number 9. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Follow along and I'll read. In 2 Corinthians 4, 9, it says, persecuted. This is the Apostle Paul talking about, very rarely actually, talking about the physical persecution that he has endured along with those who are with him. It says, persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest. And look at those words. In our what? Body. What is he saying? He's saying that others will see Jesus Christ through us. That others will hear about Jesus Christ through us in a physical way, in a physical sense. They're not going to look like Christ in a physical sense, but there are things about Christ, his characteristics, that will come to the surface and people will say something's different about Paul. I don't know what it is. And he keeps talking about this guy. You can't shut him up about Jesus. And then remember in Acts chapter 16, the Bible says they put him down in the deepest, darkest part of the prison, Paul and Silas. And what were they doing? At midnight, the Bible says they were singing. Everybody in the prison could hear him. So much so that Jesus shows up on us physically. And God wants to use you folks so that Jesus can win another soul to that eternal home. Persevere in Christ when attacked. Number three, persevere in Christ. And here's the third thought, when you're weak. When you're weak. And this is also in 2 Corinthians. This is chapter 12. Let's go ahead and look there. Chapter 12. Again, the Apostle Paul, of course, writing to the Corinthian church. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Have you ever been weak? How many have ever been weak in here? Yeah, weakness. Oh, what was it? Well, it was before I was married. What's that disease? Mono. Mononucleosis. Anybody ever had that? Thank the Lord you have never had that, because you can't get off the couch without feeling like you've just ran a marathon. It takes every bit of strength and ounce that you've got. Mononucleosis, you know, that's, I didn't kiss anybody. It was, they call it the kissing disease. It wasn't that. I don't know where it came from, but I had it for about a week and a half, I think. And man, I felt so weak. I've never felt that weak since then. But look at what Paul says when he's weak. Here's what happens. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number, let's start with verse number 7. Verse number 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Now let's stop right there for a second. Did the Apostle Paul ever heal anyone of physical infirmities? Yeah, he did. You read the book of Acts. I mean, there were people that, you know, they were on their deathbed. And there was Paul, and God used him and brought him off the bed, and they were completely healed. He was used mightily in that way. But when he asked God to heal him, what happened? The Lord said no. As a matter of fact, he didn't ask him just once. How many times? Three times. Look at what happened, verse number 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. What was he saying? When I'm weak, when I'm sick, when things aren't going well for me physically, I see it as an opportunity for the power of Christ to be seen in me, somehow, some way. And I'm here to tell you, that's not easy to do, is it? That's not easy to do. Pray for Brother Don Kelly. I'm telling you, he's having a difficult time. Had knee surgery. Then the bone was found to be broken. They had to heal that. Now he's healing from both surgeries. And who knows what's going to happen after that? He has not been able to see any of his family for weeks because they've quarantined him. Okay. Weakness. But yet God can use these things somehow. How's he going to do it? Ask him. But he can do it. Amen. He can do it. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Delight in knowing the Lord. Delight. Believe in him. Follow him. Persevere in him. Number two. Let's go back to Psalms. Number two. Psalm 37. Looking at verse number 5. Now the Bible says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Number two, delight in committing to the Lord. Delight in committing to the Lord. And what does that involve? Number one, commitment requires a pledge. Commitment requires some kind of statement that, yes, this is what I'm going to do. Making a statement, and sometimes a written pledge as well. Turn with me, if you would, 1 Samuel chapter 18. We see a great example of this in the friendship of a couple of men in the Bible. 1 Samuel chapter 18. Let's go there. Verse number 3. Commitment requires a pledge. If there's no pledge, then there's no commitment. We can easily walk away from it. 1 Samuel chapter 18. Look at verse number 3 with me, please. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul, that is Jonathan. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. They spoke to one another in that loving friendship way. They were brothers, though they were not from the same mother. They were the brothers from the other mothers, right? And here's what Jonathan did. You know what he was doing, I think? He was being an example to David. Listen, David, this is how you do it. If you're going to make a commitment to someone, you need to give them the things that they hold dear. And his sword. You know, Jonathan was no pushover. Remember, he slew the Philistines, him and his armor bearer, I forget how many, several by themselves. And he was a warrior. And he was a great man in the kingdom, loved by all. And yet he said, I want to make a commitment to you, David, that this is what we're going to do, have this friendship, and it's going to last. By the way, when you make a commitment at the marriage altar, did you know there are pledges you make at the wedding altar? Amen? Yeah. We make a pledge verbally, and we make one written down. I remember after the wedding, we were all tired and hot and sweaty in August, and then the pastor came and said, by the way, we've got to sign the wedding license. Got to sign that so you can get it back and filed and everything. I said, do we have to? He said, oh, yeah, you have to. You have to. You put your name down. You make it verbal. And also we pledge with our rings. The Bible says you and I, if we're going to make a commitment to the Lord, there's going to be something we will give to him. And God, first of all, asks that you give him yourself. Yourself. And then as you begin to realize that giving yourself means everything that you've got needs to belong to him. No more does your clothes say, you know, Armani on them. Is that the guy's name? Armani, okay. Or Tommy John or whatever. It's the Lord's. No longer is your vehicle a Chevy or GMC or Toyota if you're not with the Lord, your Toyotas and stuff. It's the Lord's vehicle. It belongs to him. And by the way, those relationships, we're talking about marriage a little bit, that relationship is his too. It's not ours to control. It's the Lord's. The list just goes on. Lord, here it is. Here she is. Here they are. Here I am. Would you use me for your glory? Commitment requires a pledge. By the way, if there's no pledge, there's no what? Commitment. Commitment. God made a commitment to you, didn't he? He sealed it with the blood of Jesus. And he proved it when Jesus rose again from the dead. He committed, and we can do the same. Commitment requires a pledge. Number two, commitment requires an offering. An offering. What can we give to the Lord? Here's some other thoughts about things that we can pledge. We have time to give to the Lord. Time to give to the Lord. How many hours do we have in a day? 24. And someone told me, you don't ever get 25. They tried. It didn't work out. You only get 24. Some of those hours need to belong to the Lord specifically. That time each day, sometime, needs to give to the Lord each day. Here we are on Sunday, of course. We're trying to give him as much of it as possible. But even tomorrow, there needs to be some time for him. We have treasure to give to the Lord. Treasure to give to the Lord. And if the government isn't going to do what they keep telling us, it'll come from the United States Treasury. Amen? Let's give it to the Lord. By the way, how much of our pocketbook belongs to God? If you look at it from his perspective, all of it does. He's simply giving you the choice to see how much you love him. The Bible gives a beginning point of 10%. Talks about the tithe, which is a tenth. But the truth of the matter is, as the Lord leads, give. Give. We have treasure to give to the Lord. We have talents to give to the Lord. By the way, talent doesn't mean that you have to be able to be the master on the piano or the master builder or, you know, master mechanic. This, quite simply, here's what talents are according to the Bible. They are opportunities to be that witness and testimony for Christ. Some of us have more talents that way. But as they come, we need to minister and witness for Christ. Yes, it does include the opportunity to grow in a skill, maybe use it for the Lord in those ways. I really love our most recent missionaries, Tackett's. I'm going to remember the Tackett's, Brother Tackett and his family. He's using a talent he learned while he was unsaved, and now he's building churches and missions and schools and hospitals and clinics and stuff all over the world. Man, what a blessing that is. But even he said, we'll take people who can't even hardly swing a hammer and we'll get them. We're going to work it. We'll show them what to do if they just are willing. We have talents. And then fourthly, we have a title to give to the Lord. Again, that's our life. Our very life. Commitment requires an offering. Romans chapter 6 and verse 6 says this, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Galatians chapter 2, let's look at this one together. Galatians chapter 2, always good to look at this one. Verse number 20, does the Lord have your life or does he just have part of it? Here's what the Apostle Paul said about his. Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20. And let's read this one together, please. Verse 20 of Galatians chapter 2. Let's say it out loud together. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The best thing we can do, Christian, is give our title to the Lord. It's all yours, God. Now what do you want me to do with it? Now what would you like me to do? And then the third thought, the Bible says you and I as believers in Christ, we need to commit with a pledge, commit with an offering, and then thirdly, commit through faith. Commitment requires faith. Commitment requires faith. Believing in the word of the other side of the commitment. Colossians chapter 2, you can look there, but here's what it says, verse 6 and 7, Colossians 2. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Commitment requires faith. Taking God at his word. When you read something in the Bible, take God at his word. Lord, here's what I've read. Would you show me how you do that? Show me how you do that. I'd sure like to grow in my faith with you. Lord, here's what I see in life. You've claimed this is how you're going to take care of things. Would you do that? And by faith, just believe that God's going to do what he says he'll do. Did you know that God keeps his word better than you? How many knew that? He keeps his word better than you and I. And that requires faith to grow in that on our part. Delight, delight, delight in the Lord. Delight in committing to the Lord. Number three, and finally tonight, let's go back, Psalm 37. Delight in what the Lord brings. Delight in what the Lord brings. Verse number six. Psalm 37, verse 6. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Look at the end of verse 5, by the way. He says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Then he says, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. A couple of thoughts here as we close out the night. The Bible tells us in verse at the end of verse 5 that the Lord honors the life that we commit to him. The Lord honors that. He takes note of that. It's not just a matter of no one else heard it. No, God says, when you bring it to me, I will honor that. He says, he shall bring it to pass. What does he bring to pass? We find that in verse number 5. Commit thy way. What does he bring to pass? The way that he'd like you to go. The course that he's planned for you as you're in your family, with your church, with your love for the Lord, God says he will provide and honor the way. Then he says in verse 6, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness. You know what the Lord will do if we follow his way? The Lord will provide discernment for the journey. We find this in the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 4. Let's close with this one. Hebrews chapter 4. The Lord will provide discernment for the journey. I like that verse, verse number 6. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. How many would like some more discernment? Would be helpful if you had a little bit more. All of us could use that. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, now look at verse 15 with me, please. Here's what he says in the Bible. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. These are those that have committed their way to the Lord. They said, whatever you say, we'll do, Lord. And then follow through with it. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised, notice this, to discern both good and evil. Which is the right way? Which is not the right way? There are details in our life that it seems that, well, the scriptures doesn't talk about whether I need a red car or a green car or a blue car. But one of those, maybe God can use more than the other. And somehow the Lord would direct in those ways. Whatever it is, God wants you to discern between good and evil, how it can be used to reach another soul for Christ. And folks, we've got to get this zeal, this understanding that part of the reason we're still on this earth is so that we don't go to heaven alone. Part of the reason we're still here is so that we don't go to heaven alone. We can tell someone about the Lord Jesus. Someone. Win someone to Christ. How can we do that? Well, part of it includes delighting in the Lord. Fret not if you delight in the Lord. Heavenly Father, help us to put our frets, our anguish, even our griefs in your hands tonight. Lord, you know the answers. You held the future in your hands. And so I pray even tonight, help us to delight in your way and commitment to you. Perhaps there's one who still needs Jesus with us tonight. You know the hearts. You know everybody here, Lord. Well, Father, I pray that if that's the case, they would not leave this building tonight without calling on Christ. What better place and what more memorable of a time, Father's Day, than to call on the Heavenly Father for salvation. Lord, we ask your help tonight, that you would be honored through the decisions made in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. And tonight, I just feel led. I just feel led. If the Lord's leading you to talk to him, why don't you do that? And you may come forward. If the God is leading you to fret not, to delight in him, I'm going to ask the organ to softly play the song we're going to sing in just a moment. But first of all, let's all stand with heads bowed and eyes closed. And maybe God's leading you to talk to him tonight. Maybe bring someone else to him tonight as well. But if the Lord's leading you, would you respond? And I welcome you to the front if that's the case as he plays tonight. going to play through one more verse. Maybe the Lord's leading you to pray for someone who needs the Lord's help in their life tonight. We've talked about some dear folks who are in that kind of a situation. They could use your prayers tonight. Would you come? Would you ask God to help them? Maybe use you in a way that could accomplish His will in their life, as we sing in just a moment. It's song number 366, Have Thine Own Way. Would you turn there with us? We'll sing it together. Number 366, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Good to be in the house of the Lord on Father's Day. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, dads. By the way, again, if you did not receive the gift earlier and you're here for the first time tonight for the day, please take one of the things that we have back there. We've got some tools. We've got some booklets with some scripture in them. You can choose whichever you'd like. And we're looking forward to Wednesday coming back to the Lord's house. So let's close with a word of prayer, shall we? I'm going to ask Mr. Sam Colgrove, would you please close out our day with prayer, and then we'll be dismissed after that.
Dear Lord.